We have Chaplain Frankie here leading us in worship this morning while Pastor Ken and his wife are in Oregon on vacation. They will be back this next Sunday.
Good morning. Good to be with you again this morning. I'm Chaplain Matthew Frankie. I'm an Air Force chaplain. I've been here a few times. And this morning, as we prepare for worship, Pastor Ken's always very flexible. He says, you can pick a text, you can pick a sermon that you did before. But I was looking and I tried to figure out what I was going to do, and I noticed that yesterday, the 29th of September, was the day on the church calendar that marks the festival or the feast of St. Michael, the Archangel, and all angels. And I got to thinking, there's some things we don't talk about angels a whole lot. They pop up here and there in Scripture, but today we're going to talk about that, and we're going to thank God for the things that the angels do for us, things that oftentimes we take for granted and maybe don't even quite understand. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to be in your presence for worship, and that we can come to you and worship you. And we thank you for the protection that you've given us on our way, for the food that's in our stomachs, the clothes on our backs, and the opportunity to come freely into this house and in this place. We pray that you would watch over us this day, that you would bless our worship, that we would hear from you. We don't just come to praise you and to sing to you, but also to hear from you and learn about you and your love for us in Jesus Christ, how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how much he has done for us. We thank you that you love us that much, and it's interesting that sometimes we may think about becoming an angel, but the fact is angels want to become more like us. They long to look into these things, that how much you love us so much in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. The scripture this morning for St. Michael and all angels, the gospel text, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. O Lord, we know you love us and care for us. We know, we've been told, but sometimes we really don't understand the extent of how much you care, what great lengths you take for our well-being. Not only did you send your Son into our world to die for our sins and be our Savior, you also send your holy angels to care for us each and every day. In Scripture, the angels proclaimed and explained how you were about to act on behalf of your people. They praised you and still praise you 24/7. They protected your people and fought for them when the odds were overwhelmingly against them. We too easily fall into the temptation of the devil, the world, and our fallen hearts. We fail to recognize your acts in our daily lives. We wish you would send an angel to tell us what to do when you've already sent us your Son and your Word. We fail to praise you every hour of the day, sometimes even for a whole day. We complain about the traffic accident that's making us late, not realizing that it could have been us, and thanking you for your protection and having to run back into the house to get that item we forgot. There is only one who is without sin, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his righteousness that we dare to stand before you. We are not worthy, but he is. Forgive us, renew us, lead us in your will and your ways, and help us never to forget that Jesus is the Son of God who has come to save us. Amen. Hear this good word of our Lord. God does love you, and he sent his Son Jesus Christ in the world to save us from our sins. And in his stead and by his command, he forgives us all our sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Children, come on up. It's time for the children's message. I'm gonna give you that. Thank you, Chloe. All right. Ooh, we got two boxes. That's exciting. All right. Which one should we open first? You guys are lively. Which one should we open first? The original. All right, the original. Let's see what we got. Did you leave a note in here? Oh, to tell me what it is. That's awesome. I like that. I wouldn't have known. All right, well, let's see. You can mold it. Kind of. Yeah, it's clay. I thought it was an eraser at first. It kind of looks like an eraser. All right, clay, and let's see if we can put both of them together. All right. Oh, all right. This one is a tool of some kind. James, what do you think it is?
I think it's a tool where you fix things.
You can fix things with it. You're right.
A wrench?
Nope. Nope. Let's see. You might use it to tighten something. It's a screwdriver. All right, so a clay and a screwdriver. How can we talk about God with this? Well, this one's easy. How do you think we can talk about God with a screwdriver? He fixes our souls. Yeah. So, did you guys know how Adam was made in the Old Testament? Do you know what he was made with? Kind of. Dirt, clay, yeah, he was made with dust, right? God took dust and he formed Adam out of it. And then what did he do? Do you know what he did to make Adam come alive? What do you guys do every day without thinking about it? Breathe, yeah, he used his breath. He used the breath of God that gave life to clay and dust. And he made us, so he molded us, kind of like how we mold stuff out of clay, right? We might make a pot or a very tiny pot because this isn't a lot of clay, right? Or you might make a little person, or what else would you make out of clay? A trophy? Yeah. A necklace?
Pieces for a board game?
Pieces for a board game.
A snake?
Yeah, that's very easy to make out of clay, right? There might be a reason that that's easy to make out of clay. So we are made out of dust, and God molded us, and he made us each unique, right? He shaped us and formed us, and then he gave us the breath of life. So we're made out of clay, and sometimes we mess up, right? Sometimes we maybe do something to our siblings or say something to our parents we shouldn't do, or maybe we get angry and mad, and then we do something wrong. And what's that called? Do you guys know when we do something wrong what it's called? Sin. Yeah. And that sin makes it impossible for us to be with God. But we're going to use this. Just like a screwdriver fixes things, right? It tightens them up. Jesus died on the cross to fix the brokenness in us, to make us so that we get to be in a right relationship with God, so that we can have eternal life with him. That's pretty cool, right? So we were made out of clay and dust and breath. And we were in the Garden of Eden, and it was paradise, and we sinned, and then we couldn't be with God anymore. But God still wanted us to be with him, so he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that we could be with him, right? That's pretty awesome. Okay, will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for forming us, for molding us out of clay, making us each unique, and special and talented and made to make our own shape in the world. But Lord, thank you, because when we mess up and sin and turn from you, you sent your son to fix all that. Thank you so much that he died for my sins. Thank you for the free gift of life with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I got to thinking about angels, and I thought, well, I keep a file. I'm old-fashioned. I have file cabinets at my house, right? And I think it's from being a pastor, and you just kind of keep a file on everything. So I have a file on angels, I have a file on baptism, I have a file on just about everything. So I went out to my garage, which is where my file cabinets are. My wife has the office now. My office is in the man cave in the garage. It's not much of a man cave, but the file cabinets are there. And I go out and I pull out the angels file. And I came across a clipping that I had. I clipped it out of a paper, I think over in the Alamo. We used to live over near Alamo Ranch. And they have a little, you know, Chamber of Commerce paper and stuff that's out there. So I think this one must have come around Christmas time or Valentine's. I'm not sure. But a little snippet, and it talks about angels explained by children. But when asked to tell what they knew about angels, here's what they shared. Profound wisdom. One kid says, "Know only the names of two angels, Hark and Herald." Gregory, age five. Olive, who's 6 years old, said, "Everybody's got it all wrong. Angels don't wear halos anymore. I forgot why, but scientists are working on it." And Matthew, age 9, says, "It's not easy to become an angel. First you die, then you go to heaven, and then there's still the flight training you have to go through, and then you got to agree to wear those angel clothes." It's coming from a boy, right? Mitchell, age 7, says, "Angels work for God and watch over kids when God has something else he needs to do." And Henry, age 8, says, "My guardian angel helps me with math, but he's not much good at science." Okay. Let's see. Reagan, age 10, says, "When an angel gets mad, he takes a deep breath and counts to 10. And when he lets out his breath again, somewhere there's a tornado." Jared, age 8, must have gone to Sunday school and picked up on a few things. He says, "Angels live in cloud houses made by God and his son, who, by the way, is a very good carpenter." So he knew what Jesus did. That's an 8-year-old. He's been coming. Antonio, age 9, says, "All angels are girls because they got to wear dresses, and boys didn't go for it." Ashley, age 9, says, "My angel is my grandma who died last year. She got a big head start on helping me while she was still down here on earth." And Vicky, age 8, says, "Some of the angels are in charge of helping heal sick animals and pets, and if they don't make the animals get better, they help the child get over it." So. And then Sarah, age 7, says, "What I don't get about angels is why, when someone's in love, they shoot arrows at them." Well, a lot of things that are there out of the mouths of babes and some great wisdom, but at the same time, we could go back through those and say, is that right? Is that so? What about that? Angels are very popular in our culture, and the Bible says a lot about angels. But I don't know if we always get it right. So I just ask you, I'm going to throw it out. I did the first service. When somebody says angel, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? What pops into your mind when you hear about an angel, when you think about an angel? What's that? The heavenly host. Okay. What do you think about when you hear about an angel?
Warriors.
Warriors? All right. What else do you think about? Bright light? Okay. Right? Wings, right? Yeah, you gotta have the wings. Or do you? Do you have to have wings to have an angel? I don't know. Anything else? Well, let's talk a little bit about angels today. Number one, we're gonna talk mostly about the good angels, okay? We didn't read all the readings for St. Michael's and all angels. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a step back, and I'm going to read you what would be the epistle text for today. From Revelation chapter 12. "Now a war arose in heaven, and Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan." Okay, so when you hear dragon, think the devil, think Satan. "The deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short.'" So you know there are bad angels too. We often refer to them as demons. But we're going to focus mostly on the good angels and what they do for us. And so St. Michael and all angels, oftentimes this is referred to as the Sunday of the persecuted church. We think about the church being persecuted all over the earth and the fact that it kind of comes from that text and that the devil has been cast down and his angels, they're mad. Okay, we could use other words, but they're kind of ticked off. They're angry about it and they cause trouble on earth and they cause trouble amongst us. But the fact is they've been defeated and they've been kicked out of heaven and God's on the throne and he rules. So let's talk about angels. What comes to mind? Well, here's a few images that popped up. Be careful when you go searching and Googling for angels and images, okay? There's some stuff out there that's really artistic, some of it kind of on the dark side. Victoria's Secret has their angels. You just, you know, before you send your kids searching, watch out what they're searching for. But these are ones that kind of popped up. I mean, you got the very lovely angel there. By the way, there are two types of wings that you typically see depicted in art on angels. This is a swan's wings, okay? They're modeled off. If you ever see a swan as they start to fly up and raise up there, okay, that's what their wings look like. The other one is actually eagle's wings. And the eagle's wings kind of a bit more pointed out and more direct, but just a piece of trivia for you. Go impress your folks at your office tomorrow when you go there. Over on the side, on the top right there, the cherubs, the little babies, sometimes they have some kind of cloth around their private parts. And they got their little wings on, floating on the clouds. We see those quite a bit. My mom sent me this picture of just some amazing pictures out of nature that people have collected, and this one was there. It's just really a wisp of a cloud. Yeah, but you know, sometimes cloud takes unique shapes. I've never seen one quite like this. Somebody got it on camera, but I'm sure somebody probably thought, hey, is that an angel, you know, flying out there? Everybody remember Touched by an Angel TV show? It was quite successful. And I think a lot of people wondered about it, and they said, by the way, did any of those angels have wings? No, okay. They may have gotten that part kind of right. We'll go into this more. But one thing that's interesting to me, back in the day, I used to think, oh, how's the show so successful when, you know, everything's being so politically correct and you can't have religion and all that stuff out there? Well, the fact is, it wasn't very religious. It really wasn't very Christian. You didn't hear much about Jesus and Christ or anything like that mentioned in the show. And the fact of the matter is that angels, it's not a Christian thing, okay? Of course, the Jewish faith, out of which our Christian scriptures come, but Muslims, man, Muslims believe in angels, and other faiths do too. And so when it came out there, it really wasn't Christian angels that were going on and touched by an angel. It was really non-offensive to anybody, but people from the Christian faith kind of associated them with our faith and said, oh, that's kind of a neat thing. And if you're a big sports fan and not very religious, of course, there's the angels, right? So what does the Bible say about angels? Let's take a look. Oh, now before we get to that, I work in a big cubicle farm, okay? And an office building has 3,000 people on one story, okay? It's over half a mile around the outside of the building. And so I had gone to the restroom one day, and I started to go down one aisleway in between the cubicles, and there's people talking, and I thought, well, I'll just go down to the next one, a route that I normally don't take. And I come by the printer and the copier, and look what was sitting next to it. This is just a few weeks ago when I had already started working on this sermon. There's this little angel sitting next to the copier machine right up here, okay? This is a close-up picture. It looks like it's she, okay? I'm not sure why she is there. She's got a book. I don't know if she's reading or singing or exactly what. Got white roses at her feet and has those nice swan wings. So I don't know if somebody put her there to just kind of get people thinking or to keep the copier, you know, bless the copier, keep it running or what it is, all right? There's just this little angel there. And then I got to thinking, you know, what else are kind of weird about angels? When I was growing up, my parents had me say prayers every night at bed as I lay down to sleep. And one of them, I remember saying it when I was a little child, was five little angels. And I went five little angels around my bed, one at the foot and one at the head, one to sing and one to pray and one to watch me night and day. It was very comforting for me as a child. But as I grew up, I'm trying to find the little angels in the Bible, and I'm not finding them. It's interesting, did you know that more Americans believe in angels than believe in God? That may seem kind of odd. I mean, even considering other faiths, it doesn't necessarily mean a Christian God, but any God. But you think about it. Americans, we kind of are in this age and a day and a time when people like to be spiritual, not necessarily religious, all right? And we like to think that there's something bigger out there, something connected. And so if you believe in an angel, you really do kind of believe in a transcendent world and reality. And we tend to think of them and picture them as helping us and guarding us and serving us. But no one's accountable to an angel. You're accountable to God. So you can believe in angels and not have to live any specific life or any specific way or have anything that you're accountable to, as opposed to if you believe in God, that kind of ups the ante and ups the stakes a little bit. Now, what does the Bible say about angels? The word angel is actually a Greek word, and we transliterate it. In other words, we don't translate it. When you translate it, the translation is messenger. But when you take the Greek word angelos and we transliterate it, and we get the word angel, but literally it means messenger. And it's what they do. It's their job description, right? It's kind of like pastor, right? The word pastor is Latin and means shepherd. That's what he does. So angels are messengers. That's one of the things that they do. And they are created beings. You know, I've never really thought about it a whole lot in my life until I was kind of going through and actually studying the Nicene Creed in Greek and had to kind of break it down and slow it down word for word as I was translating it. And I got to the phrase, you know, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And when I broke it down in Greek, after I'd said that line for hundreds of times throughout my life, I finally saw it right on the page in front of me. The God who made visible things and the God who made invisible things, including angels. They are created beings, and they are spirits. They're not humans. And when we talk about misperceptions about angels, I think probably one of the most sensitive ones, but one of the most serious ones, is the fact that people do not become angels. No more than cats become dogs or other created beings. We don't go from one species to another. God created us unique and individual. And I think sometimes we comfort ourselves with that. The picture that's here, I'll be honest, I've seen pictures like that on bulletins for children who died at their funeral service. And while it's very comforting to know that they're in God's presence and God's care, at the same time, that's kind of a demotion to become an angel. Because angels long to look into these things, the salvation of people. God does not call angels his children like he calls you and me his children. God loves us and cares for us. As a matter of fact, angels serve God most of the time by serving us. They're the ones we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. God says, hey, go down and take care of my people and do these things for them. And so while it's wonderful to think about, perhaps, and comforting at times, to know and be actually more comforted to know that you know, when we die, at whatever age we are still people. And we are still God's people and God's children. We still have angels that are helping us out and taking care of us, all right? Angels are powerful, but the power is limited. They're not omnipotent, okay? Let's draw a line here, okay? Back to catechism days. Omnipotent means all-powerful, and there's only one of those, right? And that's God. So angels do have amazing power, but they are limited. How many are there? Well, that's an interesting question. It's kind of like how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. And theologians have tried to figure that out. But we don't really know. But it's interesting. In Daniel, he talks about 10,000 times 10,000. And someone can say, well, just figure that out. Do the math. You know, punch it down on your calculator or use the exponential system in doing that. But the number there in Scripture is interesting because it's really symbolic. Okay, in Daniel and Revelation, a lot of times when you hear numbers that are being used, there are some numbers in the Bible, a lot of numbers, they're real. I mean, there were 12 disciples, right? And there were 10 commandments and those things. But the number 10 is actually a number of completeness in Scripture. And when you hear the number 3 is usually used in reference to divine things. Okay, we think about the Trinity, okay? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We just sang holy, holy, holy. We sang three of them, right? Not just because that's the rhythm of it. On the other hand, the number 4, for instance, and think about it, you've read it and you've heard it, these phrases, you know, the four winds, the four corners of the earth. So when you hear the number 4, it usually refers to earthly things. You normally don't hear that in reference to God. So what is it when you get 1,000? It's really 10 times 10 times 10, right? It's 10 to the third power. So then you got 1,000 times 10,000. So the fact is that there's a lot of them. As a matter of fact, you know, a bunch of them showed up with the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem, right? It says that suddenly there was with the shepherd a great number of the heavenly hosts praising God there. So it doesn't say how many, and I don't think the whole company of heaven was there, but, you know, there was a pretty good representation. A limited number I put on here, it's interesting. One time the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were trying to trap him in his teachings. And they talked to him and said, you know, teacher, a man marries a wife, and then he dies, and so then his brother marries her, and then that brother dies, and then another brother marries her, and then another brother marries her. That was the way things happened, by the way, back then. So you hope your brother chose wisely, in case. because that was the way you took care of your family. There was no social security system, there was no, you know, nursing homes, those kinds of things. The family took care of you. And so, you know, if you didn't leave a widow if possible. If there was another brother in the family, guess what? It's your family duty to do that. And so they're trying to trap them up, and then they say, in the afterlife, in heaven, you know, who will she be married? Whose husband will she be? You know, she's married to 6 or 7 brothers. And he makes this statement. He says that in heaven that they will be like the angels who are neither married nor given in marriage. In that sense, there's not mommy and daddy angels, and probably in that case not baby angels, you know, running around. A limited number of them. We don't know exactly how many, but there are enough. There are at least 2 types of angels that are mentioned in the Bible that I know of. Cherubs and seraphs. So the singular is cherub, and you can either put an S on it and call them cherubs, or you can put an IM on it, and that's the Hebrew way of saying plural, cherubim. To say seraphims or cherubims is like saying deers and sheeps, okay? It's adding a plural onto a plural already. So that's the plural form. They show up 2 common places that you may know. So in Genesis chapter 3, the angels are, like I say, there's 300 references. They're literally from the first book of the Bible to the last book, from Genesis to Revelation. So in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve did what they shouldn't do. God kicks them out of the garden and then says, you know, there's this tree of life. We don't want them coming back and messing with the tree of life again. So it says that God's put a flaming sword that went to and fro in different directions, and also cherubim, plural, to guard the garden, to keep Adam and Eve from coming back and to going back toward the tree of life. We kind of get distorted images in our head sometimes by art and what we see. And so in my head, I always had a picture of one big angel with, you know, lightsaber, the original lightsaber, right? But I was eating my bowl of Raisin Bran this morning, and I said, I'm going to check that out again. And I flipped to Genesis chapter 3 and was looking at it, and sure enough, it says there's one sword, and it doesn't say who's holding it. It said it's going to and fro, and it said cherubim, plural, okay? So more than one angel out there guarding. When I think of cherubim, this is the cherubs that I'm thinking of, right? Not the little chubby ones with the diapers on. I'm thinking of some security forces in the Garden of Eden. And then there's seraphs, or seraphim, and the place that this is most commonly mentioned is in Isaiah, when Isaiah sees a vision of the altar of God, and he falls and he says, woe am I, I'm a man of unclean lips. And suddenly an angel comes and it says, takes a tong from the altar, and that's what's in the picture here, takes a hole from the altar with the tongs, a hot coal, and flies to Isaiah and touches his lips with a hot coal and says, see, this has touched your lips, your sin is taken away. I always think about that when I receive communion, that something touches my lips and my guilt is taken away. But it describes that as the seraphim, and it says that they had 6 wings, and with 2 they covered their face, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. So we talk about the 6-winged seraphim. And when they flew, they cried, and does anybody know what they were singing, what they were crying out as they were around the throne of God? Holy, 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 okay? In Latin, sanctus, 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 which is what we just sang a few moments ago, right? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Right? That's where that comes from, is from Isaiah's vision in heaven. Hark and Herald are not the 2 angels that are named in the Bible. The 2 names that we do have in Christian scriptures are Michael and Gabriel. And so Michael, I just read a passage there from Revelation. Michael is also mentioned in the book of Daniel in chapters 10 and chapters 12. And there he's often referred to as the Prince Michael, or he's also referred to as the Archangel, so a little bit higher kind of in authority on the rank chart among the angels. And so he is the one who's, we talk about St. Michael and all angels, he's the one that was in charge of the angels, that led the angels in the war in heaven and cast out the devil, but also that he guards and takes care of the church here on earth. And then Gabriel, where does Gabriel show up in the Bible? Anybody know? Mary, okay. Yeah, the Annunciation of Mary lets Mary know that, hey, you're gonna be with child, and it's not an ordinary child, and it's okay, the Lord is with you. And, oh, by the way, don't be afraid. he always has to say that when he does that. Kind of a cool thing. We became grandparents this last year, and our son and his wife, our daughter-in-law, he had picked it out. She wanted to name the child Hugh, which is her grandfather's name. It's a family name. There's nobody named Hugh in the Frankie side of the family. And our son, Joshua, had picked out a long time ago, he'd like to have a son named Gabriel. And so his name is Hugh Gabriel, and he was due on the 14th of December. And he held out until Christmas Day. How cool is that, huh? Gabriel, born on Christmas Day. So, all right. It's not, there we go. I got the right one, I've clicked it twice. So what are some of the things that angels do? We talked about the word angel actually means messenger. So one of the things angels do is they proclaim. And you think about some of the, there's just a few of those things in the Bible. The birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah. Zechariah is serving in the temple. It's his turn to go and serve in the temple in Jerusalem. And while he's in there, something happens, right? He has not just a vision. The people thought he saw a vision. Well, he saw as an angel. And he tells them that he's going to have a, you know, he and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a child. And Zechariah, you know, even with the angel there, he's really not believing it because Elizabeth's pretty old and he's pretty old. And I love the text when the angel says to Zechariah, he says, "I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to tell you, because you have not believed, you're not going to talk for a long time." Just little words that he says there, you know, that angel that actually stands in the presence of God. God's messenger to come to you, and you're not going to believe this, so we're going to make you believe. Mentioned Gabriel's annunciation to Mary, okay, that you're going to have a child. Anybody seen the movie The Nativity? Came out about 8 or 10 years ago. It's actually kind of a neat movie, and a lot of things I like that they did really well on. I love the way they portrayed Herod. He was an Idumean. He actually wasn't a Jew. I like the way that in terms of the village of Bethlehem and stuff, you look at it and say, that's not much of a village. Well, that's really what it was kind of like back then. They actually did some nice historical stuff. I mean, the people were wearing homespun stuff and they're dirty, and that's kind of what life was back then. But this is the scene from that movie up here. So here's Mary, the backside of her, and this is Gabriel. She's out in the olive grove and they're harvesting the olives, and they used olive for oil for eating and also for their lamps for you know, that was their electricity back then. All of a sudden, this dove, she sees a dove fly by, and all of a sudden, she turns around, and here's the angel. And you notice he doesn't have any wings, right? He's just there. He shows up. He speaks with her, you know, in front of her. Not somebody she recognizes. She doesn't know him. She has this conversation. Next thing you know, he's gone, and he's gone away. So no wings on that one. And then on the bottom here, you have a picture I found. I'm not sure what movie this is from, but the angel announcing the birth of Christ out to the shepherds in the fields. And you notice he's not up in the sky, isn't he? So he got them all lit up, so we know this is an angel, and it's not somebody, it's not just another shepherd saying, "Hey, when are you guys coming for dinner?" What I would love to see is, I would love to see an artist rendering with all the angels that join him, and they're not in the sky, but they're all standing in the fields, and suddenly the shepherds are surrounded by an army of angels. Because I think we depict it that way because it says, suddenly there was with them a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, right? And because we say heavenly hosts, we have this image that they're in the heavens, right? It's an army up in the sky. But that's kind of like saying U.S. Armed Forces. That doesn't mean that's where we are, right? That's where we're from. So I can be in Iraq, I can be in Qatar, I can be in Jordan, whatever it is, and the U.S. Armed Forces are there, but that doesn't mean I'm in the U.S. That's where I'm from. So the heavenly host doesn't necessarily mean they're in the sky. And I kind of, in my head, picture those angels actually filling the fields. You know, all of a sudden they're out there with their sheep, and suddenly it's like, where do these thousands of people, angels, come from? Okay? But they show up in the book of Judges, the birth of Samuel. And there, when they show up, they're not showing up with wings either. With birth of Samuel, Samuel's mother wants to have a child. She comes to the temple with her husband, with Elkanah, and she prays for a child, and all of a sudden one day this angel shows up and tells her and speaks with her. And she goes and she tells her husband. The angel comes back. Elkanah, the husband, says, "Here, let us make a meal for you. That's what you did as a good host." And he says, "You can fix it, but I'm not going to eat it." He's a spirit, right? They don't know that. So they offer this thing up, and he basically says, "Hey, it's true. You're going to have a son." And all of a sudden, he goes up in the smoke of the fire that they had there as they're cooking the meal. And they fell down on their faces and they were terrified because they said, "We've just seen that wasn't a man," right? And so, but they didn't know that. He kind of looked like a man, looked like a, you know, somebody else when he walked in. But angels, God sends them down to let people know, hey, here's what's about to happen, here's what's going on. What else do angels do? Angels praise. So if you've been in a liturgical service in a Lutheran church or Catholic church, or oftentimes right before the common preface, when we're getting ready to have communion, The pastor will say, he'll end the prayer, and he'll say, "With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying," and then usually the congregation starts singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth, yeah, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory." So that praise that we sing there is what we hear from the book of Isaiah. And here, if you look in the book of Revelation, that the angels are surrounding the throne of heaven, and they're praising God all the time. I don't know about you, I have a confession to make. I don't praise God all the time. As a matter of fact, I wrote that confession of sins in the beginning, and I said, you know, there's days I think I go by and I don't praise God. And I'm not proud about that, it's just the truth. And as a matter of fact, last weekend, I was probably not a good person to be around. Not much fun. My wife says, "Are you depressed or are you just in a funk?" Which is kind of, we have this conversation. And I said, you know, I think it's just a bad funk, but it's kind of spiraling around. And I just didn't have my head in the right place. I was thinking all the things that I wish were different and things that I wasn't sure about that I wish I knew and decisions I'd made. I wasn't sure if I made the right ones. And my wife, God bless her, puts up with me. And then on Wednesday, we celebrated our 31st anniversary, and life was good again. But the fact is there's times I don't praise God. And I ought to be praising Him every hour of the day when I think about what all God does for me and how much He loves me. Unbelievable. I don't understand it, and angels don't understand it either. They scratch their heads and say, "Why does God love them so much?" But the fact is that the angels are praising God. So they've got the picture there of the angels around the throne of heaven. On the other side there, centuries-old piece of stained glass artwork with the angel. By the way, this is a seraph. And I don't know if you can read or not, but it says, "Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus, Holy, Holy, Holy," and the multiple wings that are the artist depicted in the stained glass. I thank God that the angels are there to praise Him. Because if it was just up to us humans, there's times that He would not be feeling the love. And I think that they're there to praise Him for when I'm not, and when I ought to be, but I ought to be praising not just because I should, but because when I think about all that God has done for me, what a wonderful thing to do. But in the meantime, they're keeping the chorus going. What else do angels do? Angels protect. The text that we had just a while ago, the gospel text for this day, Jesus says, "I tell you, there are angels in heaven always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." And so when we think about a guardian angel with a child, this is probably the verse that it comes from the most specifically. There's verses in the Jewish Talmud, which actually are the teachings, they're not in the scriptures, that talk about everyone having a guardian angel. But we take this verse from Christ's lips that, hey, these children that He sets before as examples of those who will enter the kingdom of heaven, it says they're angels. And oh, by the way, those angels are in the presence of God. He knows what's going on that happens there. So I look at these, and the one on the bottom right is kind of a common piece of artwork. It was, I think, made back in about the turn of the century and shows this beautiful blonde-haired, lovely female angel helping to guide this little boy and a girl over a rickety bridge with some planks missing, and you can't quite see it, but there's a raging stream underneath, so if they fall off, they're going to get washed away in the torrent, and off they go. And then the one on the top right, a bit more contemporary, I think you can probably go to about any Christian bookstore and find that picture if you want to hang it in your kid's room. But you know, when I say five little angels around my bed, I think I would trade those five little ones for this guy, okay? He means business, right? He's got the staff there, he's got the light going, and nothing is going to come near that kid, taking care of that child. Angels protect, and there's just a lot of examples through the Bible. We talk about protect us from ourselves in the Garden of Eden. You know, God says, you know, hey, if I come back to the tree of life, it's going to get even worse. So He set the angels there, the cherubs, to guard the tree of life. See that in the top right. From danger, Daniel in the lion's den. You see this picture? Has anybody ever seen pictures of Daniel in the lion's den with angels in the den? I'm not sure that I ever have. But how does Daniel make it through the night and not get eaten? When the king comes the next morning and he yells down and says, "Daniel, are you okay?" Read it. Daniel replies, "My God sent angels who closed the mouths of the lions." That's why the lions didn't eat Daniel. The angels were there to protect him. You think about Satan and his demons, and the image on the top left there of the famous statue of St. Michael the Archangel defeating Satan the dragon. Or we think about Lot's family, who was driven out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And those two guys that showed up and says, "Hey, you guys got to get out of here, you okay?" And all of a sudden, the whole town showed up at the door, and they said, "Hey, send those guys out here. We want to have some fun with them." And it turns out they weren't normal guys. They they opened the door and blinded everyone that was in the outside of Lot's house until they could make a safe escape, and then they got them off to safety. They were God's angels sent to protect them and to save them. And I think God saves us sometimes from things that we don't know or don't even imagine. I kind of threw that in the confession of sins this morning. We talked about, you know, we can complain about the traffic and, man, it was another wreck. And, you know, that could have been me in that wreck if I didn't have to run back in the house and get my line badge or get my cat card or whatever it is that I forgot. And I would have been 3 minutes quicker down the road and been right in the middle of all that. We don't always know those things, what's going to happen. I don't have a lot of angel stories. I got a couple. One of them never saw, just can't say that it was an angel. But when I was a young man and I was actually seeing a friend in Memphis, Tennessee, I was on my way up to St. Louis to go find an apartment when I was changing universities and college. And as I'm driving, I was going to head out that afternoon, and they talked me into staying for, hey, we're all going out to dinner tonight. And that sounded great. So it wasn't great, though. I went and I had dinner at a big steakhouse, and I had a big steak and a big baked potato and all that stuff. And then I set out about 8 o'clock at night to drive up north of Memphis towards St. Louis. If you know that road, it is flat, bottom land. There's nothing much there. I remember that there was a vehicle ahead of me, over a quarter mile ahead of me. And the next thing I remember, it felt like somebody shook me or punched me. And I woke up, and I could see the eyes of the individual in his rearview mirror as I was just about ready to hit his car. And thankfully, there was nobody traveling any faster than me. The speed limit was 55. I was doing about 80, 85. I'd fallen asleep, and I was that close, I can still see the eyes looking in the rearview mirror of horror, thinking this guy is going to hit me. Me, going to hit that guy. I got around and kept on going down the road, pulled off at the next place, got a coffee or soda or whatever, try to wake up. But I think oftentimes, why did I wake up at just that moment when I traveled probably for several minutes, perhaps, on a straight road, asleep? I don't know. I think God knows. And someday I'll thank the angel that woke me up that time. Hey, I'll give you one more thing of angels that protect. So in 2005, I was in Abu Ghraib in Iraq, and I got to go into the prison, and because we had some airmen that were working there. They were working on HVAC and plumbing and electrical stuff, things like that. But I got to go walk through the prison, and in one of the rooms that was about this size, maybe a little bit bigger, was a room that was used as a dining hall for the prisoners. And only they weren't using it as a dining hall. Some of the military were using it. And actually, that's where they held chapel. And I found this mural that someone had painted on the wall. And it's probably about 4 foot by 8 foot. But if you can look at it, the one in the middle, that's Jesus with this kind of warrior look that I've never seen on any painting of Jesus in my life, okay? But he's kind of like, he's got a little bit of a crazed look there, like he's going to go at it. And he's getting ready to head out, and you see the weaponry on both sides. But the angels in the background, it says, may Jesus be the point man in all of our battles. But I don't know about you, but those look like angels out of a Marvel comic book, right? You know, if you watch Rocket Man and that kind of stuff. These are the kind of heavenly angels and heavenly hosts and cherubs and seraphs that I think about. What an amazing place to find them was the American soldiers in Abu Ghraib prison saying, hey, we got some big firepower, but we got some bigger firepower that's going with us. What do angels do? Angels are those that serve God, and they serve him for our good. They're there to proclaim what God's about to do and what he does for us. They're there to praise him when we're not always praising him as we should. And they're there to protect us from things that we don't even know happening sometimes. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for all your provision. We thank you for food and for clothing and for being here today. But we also thank you for watching over us and protecting us. So often we take for granted the things that we can see and the things that we know about. It's so easy to take for granted the things that are invisible, that are unseen, the things that live in the world and happen in our world that we don't always know about. We thank you that you do. We thank you that you're always watching over us, protecting us. We thank you for the angels that proclaimed your salvation to the shepherds and to Mary and to all throughout Scripture, but also we thank you for that word that we have now that's even more sure, and that we know what you're like because you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us and to be our Savior. So we thank you. We ask that you would help us always to praise you when we realize how much you love us and how much you care for us. We ask that you also help us to always be thankful and know that you watch over us and protect us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. And we continue with our prayers this morning. We thank the Lord for making the greatest in the kingdom of heaven those who humble themselves, and for judging against those who cause little children to sin, and for angels who serve God and our good. We thank God for the continued healing for Jamie, and for almost $200,000 given to the Therefore Go Building Fund here at Word of Life. We thank God for all the blessings and resources God has entrusted to our care and His promise to multiply them to build a bigger heaven and better lives. And we ask the Lord to inspire and empower us to receive His proclamation, to join the angels in praising Him and receive comfort and courage from His protecting angels, to bless the missionary Arthur and the people of Martino Lutero as they reach out to people in São Leopoldo, Brazil, and beyond, to bless our government to provide justice and protection for the good of all its people, to bless our leaders with godly wisdom and guidance that they would lead according to God's will. We ask that the Lord would bless the victims of persecution and violence and terrorism and disaster, especially hurricane victims who suffer here in our own country, to bless those who travel and to bless and protect our troops and their families, especially Isaac and Juan. We pray for new or better employment for Kevin and Jamie, Anna Marie, Mark and Ryan and Bethany, and to provide for Jamie and Adriana, for a healthy pregnancy and delivery for Kelly and Carly, Molly, Sharon, and Sophia, for Lenoria and her premature baby boy. We ask that God would bless Tammy and Becky as they start Stephen Ministry, and bless Lola, to bless caregivers and those for whom they care, especially Shelley and Nicholas, and for mercy and hope, a certain hope for Dot in her last days. We pray that God would comfort the family and the friends of Zachariah and Pastor Eldor as they mourn their deaths. We ask that God would heal the Sibhani family, John, Milagro, John and Sophia, Jamie, Ted, Coleman, JC, Kaylin, Patricia, Jean, Bob, Elfie, Jenna, Maria, and Ray, Adriana, Hayden, Penny, Rick, and Paul, Monica, Katie, Becky, Chelsea, William, Denise, Charlene, and Sarah, Linda, Ashley, Amanda, Lynn, TC, Mike, Benny, and Danielle, Ed, Allie, Lisa, and Alexandra, Rod, Courtney, Brenda, Forrest, Charlie, Marianne, Larry, Eric, TJ and Rufus, Morgan, Chris, Vince, Ryan, Martha, and Randy, Riley, Ann, and Wesley. And we pray for healing for those who are battling cancer, to include Joan and Rita, Buster, Sarah, Alexis, Becky, Elward, Carrie, Ada, Jean, Lawrence, Tom, and James, Antonio, Kathy, Jason, Kathy, Jeanette, and Fred, Sarah, Cheryl, Hyman, John, Twyla, Mary Lou, Harold, and to strengthen their families, and to open our eyes and ears and hands and mouths to bless people. We join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear these good words of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his face upon you and give you his peace. Amen.